Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom on the programme tonight. After Gyanvapi, a lawsuit demanding the removal of a mosque in Mathura said to be built on the birthplace of Lord Krishna is allowed by a court. Does India really need this assertion of raw majoritarian power? This comes on a day when, astoundingly, for the second consecutive time, another set of details on apparent Hindu structures inside the Gyanvapi Mosque in Varanasi have been leaked to the media, even before they are considered in court. I use the word leak, but in fact, these are lawyers handing out details of what has been submitted in court, even before the court has considered what has been submitted. Where is the process of law? Why is this being done so deliberately? On our program tonight, our big debate, the case against Mathura's Shahi Idgah, from Kashi to Mathura, is the Babri script at play. First up, I'm joined by the senior advocate and Congress leader, Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi. Dr. Singhvi, is this about settling scores historically with Aurangzeb, or is this about, and I'll be blunt, telling members of the Muslim community in India what their place in this India should be?
Quite frankly disgusting, very sad, and very repulsive what I'm seeing. I'll be very pointed, but there is, of course, as you know, a legal aspect to it. There are far bigger and more important political and social aspects. First and foremost, you are playing this for which election, which 2024, which genie out of which bottle, which Frankenstein monster do you want to create, which you will yourself not be able to control? What kind of game is this? Secondly, as Gandhiji said, an eye for an eye means the whole world will become blind. Will you go to the end of your road where there is a monument and rectify that historical wrong, what you perceive to be a wrong? Or will you go down to the end of the next road and do three more? And will there be a third person who will go down further that road? This is all part of a common existing thing. How far will you go? Thirdly, so it's most important to note that what was the raison d'etre for enacting this act? It was to put a quietus, draw a line in the legislative wisdom.
You're talking about 1991.
Yes, the Places of Worship Act. It was to draw a legislative quietus on a fixed date, irrespective of merits. Now, today, look at the kind of facile arguments you are having. Oversimplistic, almost ridiculous. One, that this act is under challenge. Thousands of acts are under challenge by millions of challenges. Till such time as you set aside the act.
Until there is a verdict on the challenge, you cannot presume it's wrong.
The second thing, you know, you're putting the cart before the horse.
Yes.
I'm quite amazed that a district court, a trial court, will proceed to pass consequential orders, appoint me as a commissioner, you as a further fact finder, without deciding the basic foundational question.
And Dr. Singhvi, sorry to interrupt, but what if you, as a surveyor, or me as a fact finder, then take our documents and give it to the media before they are even considered by the court? How is this even legally possible?
I am coming to that. But I mean, we are now talking of foundational things. How can you put a cart before the horse, not decide whether this suit at all can be filed? Is it maintainable? Can it exist at all in the view of the barring effect of 1991 Act?
Dr. Singhvi, I really want to know this one point, sir. How can anybody leak this out? Well, and his lawyers are giving it to journalists and saying,
I'll tell you, point by point, not once, twice. This is obviously a very depressing, sad, horrendous practice. It is being created in a very official manner, very organized manner, very, very orchestrated manner, I have no hesitation of saying, to create an ambience, to create merits where you can't go into the merits.
To put pressure on lower courts? Does that work? Is that why it's being done?
Exactly. You see, the threshold is, can you go down that path? Then you can discuss whether I will go down that path at 1 kilometer per hour or 5 kilometers per hour, or whether I go this way or that way. But when you can't go down that direction and you don't decide that issue, then it's a complete farce.
And I hope is it not incumbent at one level upon the Supreme Court of India to ensure that lawyers follow the process that they are bound, they've sworn an oath to follow? If you are submitting a document in an envelope to a court, you don't say that before the court has even looked at it, aap dekh lijiye, these are the points. I have found 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5.
Isn't that contempt of court? Yes, it is. In fact, it is contempt of court, clearly undeniably. Today, the Supreme Court is, of course, only deciding interim matters. But I hope and trust, and I am nowhere to second guess the Supreme Court, the matter sub judice. I hope and trust that they take a very clear, strong, stern view of the whole thing. I hope and trust that they direct the decision of the preliminary threshold issue first. I hope and trust that this kind of a complete khilwaad with our process by interested parties, be it advocates, be it plaintiffs, be it defendants, be it bystanders, it's making a joke of the whole system. The sanctity of the system is at stake. I think the sternest action should be taken, and let me be very clear. The last and the only hope on this is the judiciary, is the apex court, and I am sure that everything possible will be done by them to stand this test and to come out to show that the judiciary can deal with these situations in flying colors.
Dr. Singhvi, thanks very much for being with us. I wish you were part of the debate that follows, but thanks very much for clarifying those points. We're joined at this stage by Devanshu Khandelwal, lawyer for Ranjana Agnihotri, one of the petitioners in the case in the Mathura case, which has come up now after Gyanvapi. It's now the Mathura case, Janambhumi over there, the Krishna Janambhumi, and the construction of a mosque which has existed for a long time. That's been challenged now in court. It's opened a Pandora's box. Did Gyanvapi earlier on? Shashank Shekhar Jha, Supreme Court lawyer, joins us. Shant Pratap Jatav of the BJP with us. Sabha Naqvi joins us as well. And also Mehmood Paracha, senior lawyer in the Supreme Court. Devanshu Khandelwal, let me come to you first.
Yes.
If you just look at Ayodhya and what the verdict in Ayodhya was, let me quote, human history is testament to the rise and fall of rulers and regimes. The law cannot be used as a device to reach back in time and provide a legal remedy to every person who disagrees with the course of which history has been taken. This is the law. If this is the case, why are we now looking at Mathura after we've looked at Gyanvapi in Varanasi?
Actually, with respect to the Ayodhya case, it is the phrase of the words which you have quoted to me.
Yes.
It is not a reasoning of the judgment. It is a passing remark which have put to us. In our case, with respect to Mathura is concerned, we have moved the cancellation of a decree and compromise which has been there. We are not praying before the court with respect to conversion of any premises to some other premises.
Sir, let me also quote to you the Places of Worship Act 1991. You know so well for our viewers.
Yeah,
Section 3 of the Act prohibits the conversion of a place of worship of any religious denomination as it existed on August 1547 into a place of worship of a different religious denomination. We can certainly debate this from a historical standpoint. Absolutely. Why not? But you can't change the status quo. It's there in black and white, sir.
That's what I'm saying, man. In this scenario, recently, there was judgment in our favor. The Honorable District Justice categorically held that there is no applicability of the Act of 1991 with respect to this case. Because here, we are seeking a very innocent relief of cancellation, declaration, and mandatory injunction with respect to this property. Over here, we are not seeking any sort of relocation on the property.
No, you're not seeking relocation. You're saying that the property itself is held. It's an adverse possession by members of the Muslim community. It's not theirs. It belongs to the Lord Krishna. That's what your central argument is.
See, my
that changes the status quo.
My central arguments revolve around this only. That my sole prayer before the Honorable Court is this only. That there was a compromise which occurred.
Yes.
There was a compromise which occurred on, I'm telling you the exact date of that particular compromise. Hold for a while.
It was enacted in 1973. It started in 1967.
The compromise dated 12th of October, 1968. And through the prayer of my plaint, I have alleged that all the decree and the order which has been passed by the lower court and Mathura, that particular place, is totally null, void, and have no impact upon petition.
No, and I've gone through the petition very closely, sir. Basically, yeah, what you have said is that the Sri Krishna Janmabhoomi Seva Sansthan is illegal, and that the Sri Krishna Janmabhoomi Trust is the legal guardian of that particular area. The point is, you've given very little evidence of why the Sri Krishna Janmabhoomi Seva Sansthan is not representative of Hindus in that area.
That will be the subject of evidence. At this juncture, all you have to see is what is the plaint asserted, whether my suit is maintainable or not. Unfortunately.
Okay, let's see what happens with your suit. Sabha Naqvi, let me come to you first. Isn't it bizarre, Sabha, that despite 1991 and the judgment and Ayodhya and what it very clearly says, you know, we are still arguing this. Let's go beyond the argument, how long will we keep digging? I'm asking you a broader question. Are places of worship being used as tools to target minorities, in this case, Muslims in India?
Look, let me answer this a different way. I began my career in the context of Babri Masjid. It was a process, Vishnu. It took a long time. The atmospherics in the country was different. There were criminal cases, there were civil cases. In the end, we had a verdict in, I think, November 9, 2019.
Yes.
We are now living, courts also respond to what they perceive as public opinion, because there is a campaign in the media.
Yes.
And, so we are getting, the courts have made, are making this, to my understanding, legally tenable. So you are doing the correct thing legally. But I'm not going to get into legal arguments so much, Vishnu. This is going to be Ayodhya at the pace, at the power of 10.
Yes.
In a sense, it's going to happen faster. It's going to happen in a quicker time frame. But it is almost sadly.
It's the same Babri formula all over again.
At a far, far greater speed. It's going to happen in Kashi, because now there's nobody to stand back and fight back. The system responds differently. The courts have, it's been a local court which began, and the petitions which one may have imagined will not be entertained, as you are pointing out, are being entertained and
being leaked before being considered.
So this is going to happen swiftly. Yes, I don't want to demoralize those who intend to fight the legal battle at all. I think we must, everybody must fight as much as they can to preserve the law, including
all
the
right. Okay, let me just bring in Shyam Prakash Jadhav, BJP leader. Shyam Prakash ji, ye kis liye ho raha hai? Ye Babri formula phir se lagaya ja raha hai? Where does this place Muslims in India?
बाबरी के साथ में ये जो वर्तमान में जो स्थिति है उसको जोड़ना ठीक नहीं है. वहां पर एक अवैध स्ट्रक्चर बना हुआ था और उसके लिए कुछ नियम कानून थे, वो अलग था.
पर अवैध स्ट्रक्चर आप लोग कह रहे हैं कि अभी ये मथुरा में भी है अवैध स्ट्रक्चर जिसको हटाना चाहिए. ज्ञानवापी के अंदर भी स्ट्रक्चर है जिसको हटाना चाहिए. तो डिस्ट्रक्शन एंड डेमोलिशन इज व्हाट द सेंट्रल गोल इज.
अवैध अभी अवैध कब्जा भी है
जी,
पर आप जो ज्ञानवापी और मथुरा में आप जो स्थिति देख रहे हैं वो बहुत स्पष्ट बेशक से सर्वे जो किए जा रहे हैं उससे स्थिति क्लियर हो जाने वाली है. मगर उसके अतिरिक्त हम लोग सीधा सीधा भी हम देख रहे हैं वहां पर हम उस अवैध कब्जे को देख रहे हैं. और
जातव जी एक चीज बताइए, ज्ञानवापी के जो सर्वे हो चुका है ये इसका खबर मतलब जो मिल चुका है ये सब मीडिया में फैल चुका है खबर, ये गलत नहीं है कि ये वाराणसी के कोर्ट जो है वो कंसीडर करने के पहले पत्रकारों को दिया गया है और वो भी वकील लोगों ने दिया है?
विष्णु जी, इससे पहले वर्षों से हम लोग देख रहे हैं. ये तो आज ठीक है, सर्वे से पहले का जो विषय है वो अभी हम चर्चा में ला रहे हैं. ये तो हर एक के जहन में है वहां पर इसको किस तरीके से कब्जा किया गया है और किस तरीके से आधे मंदिर के ऊपर
सर्वे रिपोर्ट बनाई गई है. सर्वे रिपोर्ट को कोर्ट को कंसीडर करने के पहले एक सेंसिटिव इशू में
तो पहले
मीडिया में लीक
नहीं
किया जा रहा
है. हमारे ध्यान में है ना पहले से. मैं क्या कह रहा हूँ कि इसको तो पहले वो विषय तो हमारे ध्यान में पहले से ही है और हम कोर्ट का सम्मान करते हैं। कोर्ट उन चीजों को देख भी रहा है और सर्वे के आधार पर वो अपना निर्णय लेने वाला है। तो यहाँ पर जो स्थिति है उसको सम्मान दे रहे हैं और जो भी कोर्ट का निर्णय आएगा उसको हम लोग सम्मान देंगे।
महमूद पराचा, वन ऑफ यू नो, एंड जस्ट फ्लिपिंग बैक वंस अगेन टू मथुरा एंड व्हाट हैज हैपेंड ओवर हियर, इफ यू लुक एट द पिटीशन, इट एक्चुअली इज एंड द डिमांड, इट्स अ वर्स्ट केस डिमांड, इट कॉल्स फॉर डिस्ट्रक्शन। इट सेज द डिफेंडेंट्स बी गिवन टाइम एज मे बी फिक्स बाय द कोर्ट फॉर द रिमूवल ऑफ द सुपर स्ट्रक्चर्स इन दिस डिस्प्यूटेड लैंड, राइट, एंड इन केस दे फेल टू रिमूव द सुपर स्ट्रक्चर्स द सेम मे बी ऑर्डर्ड टू बी रिमूव्ड इन एक्सिक्यूशन प्रोसीडिंग्स थ्रू अ कोर्ट, आई मीन in other words, bring in the bulldozers and destroy the structure. This is Babri all over again. In the case of Mathura, that is the demand. Destroy it. Either they remove it or we destroy it. Or please destroy it.
See, this is direct opposition to the Constitution of India, which is openly happening in the country. Let's not go into the nitty-gritties of the case. Because I can only, you have referred to Section 3, I'll refer to Section 4, which prohibits any legal suit to be instituted. So, but courts are ignoring it. Courts are also under a tremendous pressure. Four Supreme Court judges have come out and held a press conference. So I need not say anything more. So that is one aspect. The twin goal is, one, that they have to, and BJP spokesperson, like in today's debate also, was defending this act. What he was saying, that lawyer did this, leaked it to the press, they are defending it. So that gives a clear signal that this is happening from the top, on the instructions of the top. That is one. Two, they are proceeding towards forming Hindu Rashtra, in which there is no place, not just for Muslims, but no place for scheduled caste, scheduled tribe, OBCs, and other minorities. Religious structures are being destroyed of not only Muslims, but also scheduled caste and scheduled tribe, in the manner in which more than 1 lakh both Vihars were destroyed after Ashok's government was...
Right.
So that is the same formula. Now, last thing today we should be discussing is this aspect. What should be discussed today in a channel like yours is Pongong So Lake. What is China doing there? This is the diversion. So
I've done a lot of discussions.
No, that's
that.
What I'm saying. This is the last thing we should discuss this, because China is breathing down our necks. And BJP is happy doing all this.
You know,
RSS is happy doing all this. So this is
Mr. Paracha, I just wanted to ask you one point. I wanted to, just on a legal matter, I wanted to get your opinion. Devanshu Khandelwal, who is the petitioner in the Mathura case, said that a lot of what I had quoted were observations in the Ayodhya judgment and therefore not binding. In other words, parts of the Ayodhya judgment which upheld 1991 were observations and therefore not binding. Is that legally correct? I was under the impression that everything in an order, which is, and I, this is a 1,000+ page order, it's in black and white. It has to be followed.
But I don't want to start criticizing the judgment because that will take 1 hour.
No, I'm not criticizing the judgment. I'm only asking you, whatever the judgment says is the law of the land, correct? Including the observations, or is it only the order?
For everyone else, apart from people belonging to RSS and BJP, yes.
So the entire judgment is the order. So therefore...
Yes, for everyone else, apart from RSS and BJP.
Let me bring in Shashank Shekhar Jha as well, senior lawyer of the Supreme Court. Sir, there are, quote after quote after quote, as part of Ayodhya says, and again, historical wrongs cannot be remedied by people taking the law in their own hands. In preserving the character of places of public worship, Parliament has mandated in no uncertain terms that history and its wrongs shall not be used as instruments to oppress the present and the future. I mean, this is exactly what is happening. There are members of the Muslim community who feel oppressed and deeply hurt by this. When the law says you cannot do that, it's illegal. How can we entertain such petitions, sir?
Namaste Vishnu and fellow panelists. I guess there are three pointers here.
Yes.
One, I don't think anyone is taking law in their hands. It is a proper machinery provided by the Constitution of India through which people have went or approached court with respect to Mathura case. Now, second point is, how much do we have to dig or how much correction do we have to take? I guess according to me, being a law student, myself a practicing lawyer, I think as much as it requires, you cannot let supposedly the status quo is Taliban is ruling Afghanistan currently. That doesn't mean that you will allow it to continue.
So we have 4,000 plus years of history in our country. Do you want us to dig that? Because I mean, in terms of archaeology, the way it works is that civilizations are often built one upon the other. The process of these claims would be endless.
Vishnuji, there are two things again. One, civilization over other civilization is completely fine, but plunder over civilization is not good and it needs to be corrected. And point number two, if Hindus do not associate themselves with Ravan, then why is Muslim hellbound to connect themselves with Aurangzeb? We do not need to confine ourselves with such small ambiguity.
No, but who is
if Hindus align themselves with Ram?
Isn't that the problem? Yeah, if you use the word we, and believe that that is reflects or should reflect the opinion of Muslims as well, that's majoritarianism, and that's exactly what this is not about. Aurangzeb may have been a terrible man, but he was a ruler at a particular period of time. And he created religious structures which are deemed to be religious by some. And maybe it's a historical wrong. Maybe it was entirely incorrect. But there is a law which says prior to 1947, it's one thing. Prior to 1947, maintain the status quo. Why are we not maintaining the status quo?
Vishnuji, there are multiple laws which you yourself has opposed in this very real channel, including CA and farmer law. So let's not talk about that. Law can be changed again anytime.
You're a lawyer. I'm not. I don't understand how conceivably you can mix CA and anything else with this. I'm asking you about Ayodhya. I'm asking you about 1991.
Let me complete.
I've got my research right over here, sir. I can quote this and you are bound to follow it, sir. Of course we can debate it.
Vishnuji, let me... Yes, Vishnuji, just 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
One, this 1991 Act is itself in challenge before Supreme Court.
So let it be challenged.
Also, in this particular case, one intervention has already been filed stating... Vishnuji, let me at least have 20 seconds of my time.
Sorry.
20 seconds. One, in this particular case also, an intervention has been filed stating that 1991 Act does not apply on this case because of Section 4. Now, second point is, you are saying that he was a ruler and why should we eliminate or, you know, distinguish against him, Muslims? I am just saying that Aurangzeb was no ruler of Muslims at all. The rulers of Muslims were others who we consider as great leaders. So, if Hindus consider themselves aligned to Ram, why not Muslims should also consider themselves aligned to Peygamber? I don't think Aurangzeb was ruler of anyone or king of anyone.
No, sir,
he was a tyrant, he was a terrorist, he was a murderer, he was a
pecker. Necessarily aligned to Aurangzeb, they are aligning themselves to a place of worship.
Obviously, when you destroy a particular place of worship in order to construct your own, even Islam does not allow that.
All right,
when
okay.
Islam says
Sabha,
that
would you like
only
to come in
two
over
places,
here?
According to the legal point of view, Vishnu, just 10 seconds.
Yes.
Islam says that only two point of places can be allowed for worship. One, which is donated, and other, which is the private property of a Muslim man. This case, this is the third category in which it says that it was a Hindu property which was illegally destroyed by a Muslim invader.
Well, that's debated,
so
but Sabha, please respond to that. That this was illegally acquired, this land, and therefore it's not part of the Hindu, it's not
how
a Muslim.
How can I look, Aurangzeb, whatever it was, there was a period in history ruled India among the Mughals. I think he had the longest reign and the greatest geographical territory. Having learned history in one of those liberal colleges of DU called St. Stephen's College. But nevertheless, he did rule the territory that is now part of it is in India, whatever it was. I would just put a very humble submission, because I don't want to get into the tu-meme, is that why is the Bhima Koregaon, why did a section of the Dalits fight with the British Army? Just investigate that. You want to look into historical wrongs? There are all sorts of historical wrongs. I think you and I should be friends and we should build this country with harmony. However,
Vishnu, if this is the argument, Vishnu, we are getting...
No, but it's an important
argument,
Shashanji.
Then we should also go for 1947. Why 1947 happened?
Important. There
can
was a compromise in Mathura which was arrived at.
Vishnuji,
from 1967
onwards, talking about
there was a compromise which was arrived at. Now, you can say that compromise was some sort of a conspiracy, but what 70 years later... In a case filed in 2020, you're saying that is a conspiracy. why don't we look at it that there was an agreement which was reached for peace, so that people could live together?
Can I just say one thing very simply, that
Vishnuji, when Sabha is talking about Bhima Koragaon in terms of history, she must also think about 1947 and look into the aspects why partition of India actually happened.
Understand the connection between Bhima Koregaon and a 2020 petition filed in the Mathura case.
I'm out of time, so
I have to interrupt everybody over here. And I apologize for that, but I will end this program on a couple of points, a couple of viewer feedback messages, but also, and I want to read this, paragraph 652 of the Ayodhya judgment. This court cannot entertain claims, this court meaning the Supreme Court of India, cannot entertain claims that stems from the actions of the Mughal rulers against Hindu places of worship in a court of law today. You cannot entertain these claims. For any person who seeks solace or recourse against the actions of any number of ancient rulers, the law is not the answer. Our history is replete with actions that have been judged to be morally incorrect and even today are liable to trigger vociferous ideological debate. Let us have that vociferous ideological debate, but let us not have another Babri chapter in our history, because we know where that leads. Let's not destroy our India. A couple of points which have come in. Viewers, Tushar writes in, he says, why is the government and the court trying to create an atmosphere of riots while ignoring the real issue of economic slowdown and price rise? Atul Kumar says, is it all just for politics and nothing else? Two important questions. Out of time on Left, Right and Center.